Pocket Show is back. One Paul has regenerated into another Paul. Thanks to Paul Wheatley for making this the juggernaut show that it is. But Wright is taking over. We're back and we're bad as ever. And tonight I have for you, I have some BTN royalty as my panel. You won't believe what we've got for you tonight. Starting with the Chris, the Campion. It's Chris Campion. How are you, mate?
Evening, I'm good. I'm excited to be back.
Back indeed. Yeah. We're trying to get new things. This is going to be a good show.
Yeah, back having missed a week on Big, but very excited for my Pocket Show debut.
Oh, it's your first, isn't it? Oh, God. Yeah, I never got invited, so my first too. Anyway, the man with no face, Alan Hauschel. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Paul. Yeah, I'm good.
How's that Windows PC?
It's fine as long as you don't ask it to talk to Google.
Well, I can hear you. That's the main thing. That's all I need to know. And talking about BTN royalty, it's Mr. James Hart. How are you,
Hello.
Sir?
Fine, actually. I was just thinking about how you drive juggernauts. We're probably driving the wrong way down the A11, hurtling towards hunting. No, hang on. Where's the A11 anymore?
Don't you mean where? Crawl down the A11?
Crawl down the A11. It ain't pretty. That's all I'm saying. It ain't pretty. And I'm back. Hello.
It's somewhere around Thetford. Something like that.
Crawling through Thetford. The Pocket Show. It's good to be back.
And that's where most women lose their virginity around there, isn't it?
Oi! And as you can hear, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's tonight because the governor's here.
Hello, mate.
Mr. Rankin, how you doing, mate?
I was on the last Pocket Show and I'm on the next Pocket Show. Cool. Back-to-back appearances, two years apart.
There you go. I was going to say, are you wearing fancy earrings? We've got those fancy Apple AirPods
in, mate. These, I'll tell you what, mate, these are the buy of the year for me. I absolutely adore these. I sit with them in and then I'll answer a phone call and then I'll switch the Bluetooth on the computer and I'll sit and edit audio with them, and then I'll switch them over and I'll watch something on my iPad while I'm editing. They're brilliant. I love them, love them, love them, love them. But best thing I bought this year.
But the question, do they sound like the old AirPods?
No, quality-wise better.
Are they
really? Yeah, they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I've got a set of ear molds that were made for me for hearing protection, and I've got the centers hollowed out. So I went back to the company M-Tech. Here you go. They made these ear molds for me for hearing protection with a blast diaphragm in the center.
Oh.
But they've gone back and they've completely remade these ear molds for me, but they've taken this center and hollowed it out. So now actually the AirPod fits inside it. So I can put these in on the train and it's completely noise free.
Oh, you're so
they're awesome.
See, my problem was the AirPods always fell out. But that solves the problem.
I think the problem that you had was, and me and Rich Harkness were talking about this because he's been down with me for the last couple of days, is that you actually set them in that little tiny crook in your ear here, and you don't try and shove them in the canal. And that's the problem people make, is they shove them in the canal like that, and then they worry because of the fact they work out. But actually, if you just rest them in there, and you can wobble your head around and go for a run, and they aren't going to come out. But you don't need them rammed right into your ears. And I think that's why people think they're going to fall out. But the problem was with the AirPods is that you had a cable here that you could catch or pull, and that's when it would really come out. But with the AirPods, it doesn't. So I think it's just don't try and shove them in constantly, and you solve your problem. And it does that. It switches bloody Siri on, which is annoying.
Oh, because you've got to talk to it if you want to turn the volume up.
And Siri has just changed that to... Does that bloody cereal? Crap, it was awful. Jesus.
Well, we thought as this is our kind of what I call season two of the Pocket Show, there's subtle mobile news out there right now. It'd be a really bad time to release a show about mobiles. So I thought as we had an assembled cast here with varying age ranges, we have a history of mobile phones. And I thought it'd be really good just to go through what we had from the start, which are the fails probably, or the phones we never knew anything about or can't remember, to where we're up to now. So the guys have been kind enough to give me a list of the phones they had. So
I didn't know about that, by the way. Sorry.
I wasn't going to say anything, but
Sorry, I didn't. If you'd have told me I had homework, I'd have done it.
Well, lashings for you, Rankin. Lashings. So start us off, Chris. What was the phone, probably bought by your parents?
It was not. No, my first mobile was the Nokia 1610.
The 1610?
Yeah. So it was, I suppose, candy bar style, but probably about 8 inches length with the small antenna fixed. Antenna on the top, so it probably stood about 9 to 10 inches tall, and you know, not the sort of phone that you could easily put in your school trouser pocket. But yeah, that was my first one back in 1-to-1 days.
1-to-1. What? Yeah. What are they now?
I think 1-to-1 kit became T-Mobile.
They did. They were T-Mobile. Yeah.
Because the first. Because the first thing I had was something my parents bought me, and I God knows what it was. It was some Nokia pay as you go, but it looked very similar to what you had. But the difference is obviously mobile phones are really great now because you can do all sorts of things like apps and video and all that sort of thing. But did you find that when you got your first mobile phone, the killer app was just being able to text people? It's like, I'm going to be in the pub tonight, and you type it in, and people would appear at the pub. It was just the best thing in the world.
You know something, back when I got this phone, I don't remember text messaging being something that I used.
There wasn't text messaging the first phone,
Yeah, I don't honestly remember there being any text messaging. It was phone calls, and to be totally honest, the contract gave me something stupid like 50 minutes a month, no more than that.
50 minutes.
It was the sort of thing that I got my parents to ring me if they wanted to know where I was. I didn't ring them. I did not.
Which probably cost them a fortune.
It probably did. It was the sort of thing that I didn't want to use it, but it was there if I had to use it. But yeah.
It wasn't like a Ladybird phone, was it?
A Ladybird phone?
Well, have you seen Diary of the Wimpy Kid where he gets his first mobile phone? It's like a Ladybird phone where he can only dial 999 or his parents.
It pretty much was that. Yeah.
It's like, say,
and it wasn't cheap. I mean, it was cheap in terms of in comparison to what they pay over in the US. But I think back then it was something like £22-25 a month, and you got nothing for it.
And it was
the free phone at the time as well. It wasn't even like they'd built some of the phone cost into the 12-month or 18-month 1-to-1 contract.
Oh, see, this is what I want to do now is Ewan to tell me his first phone, because I think the comparison is going to be slightly different.
Mate, so my first ever mobile phone I ever used, I used at work, and it was a Panasonic EBJ 1114.
A Panasonic EBJ?
Panasonic EBJ 1114. And it had a carrying handle on it and a strap, and the handset came away from the brick and had the numbers on the back of it, and it was one of the first phones that there was a hands-free option on it as well that worked pretty well in a car. The first one that was my own personal was the Motorola Microtech.
I know that, and
I had that from, I can't remember which network I had it on, but again, it was one that's now obsolete. But I bought it at Currys, and I used it at the golf club at Bredsall, and I had a nasty habit of putting it on the bumper of my BMW while I put the golf clubs away. And then one day I got sort of halfway down the car park, and I was like, oh Christ, where's my phone? And then I realized I left it on the bumper, and I'd reversed over it. And
it still worked,
no, it was naked. So I went, because I'd paid for the card, and I just thought, well, in that case, because you had that, it was actually a credit card at the time, that, you know, a full-size credit card. So I thought, I'll go to Currys and I'll buy another one and just swap the cards over, and I'm just going to have to live for the fact that for the next 12 months, I'm going to have to pay for this phone twice over. So I went to the local Currys. I said, I've reversed on my phone. Can I have a new phone, please? She said, yeah, no problem. And I filled out all the paperwork, got back home, and I broke out the phone, put my card in it, and off we went. We worked. 3 days later, all the paperwork turned up in an envelope, and they said, oh, you forgot to sign this bit. Could you please sign this and send it back to us?
Right.
And I looked through it, and I got every single piece of paperwork for the phone. And I just thought, no.
I've also
maybe admitting technically to a theft there. That was the end of the deal. They didn't chase me for it or anything. So
I've almost got the same story, and in that I quickly moved from the 1610 to the Motorola StarTAC, which was the bigger version of the device that you had. But you know, when you open the boot of your car, you've kind of got the rim that goes around your boot. So when your boot closes, it sits flush. My phone had fallen out of my coat pocket that I slung in the boot of the car, and it had sat in that well, and then I slammed the boot, didn't realise, drove, came home, popped the boot open to get my jacket out, and bits of a Nokia 1610 fell all over the floor. So thankfully they're in the days of, you know, your £15 a month for phone insurance on top of your phone bill. And I paid a bit of a premium on top of that claim form and got myself a StarTAC, because that's what my mates had and they were cooler than me.
Now that seems to be the kind of thing. The StarTAC is, when I talk to people, and I've been talking to people, you know, leading up to this show, the StarTAC seems to be the kind of killer phone that everyone moved on to very quickly. So that's
it had that flip out bit at the bottom that you know it looked fairly cool at the time, but it wasn't the true flip phone. They just after that they brought out the one that was the curved one that had the flip phone that you could sort of flick. But the StarTAC wasn't the small one. It was the medium sized one, and actually the microphone was in the flip phone, which they did away with very quickly after that came out. And the microphone went into the body. It was actually under the hinge. The flip out bit was a complete irrelevance, but it had an analog aerial that you pulled out as well.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to say. There is of the day where you had to pull the aerial out. Did that actually make any difference? Us pulling the aerial out.
Yeah, because it was a proper connected aerial, and the connectors were at the bottom, and you slid it up, and it was carbon fiber or a carbon graphite mix, and you pulled it up, and it was it made a connection on the ring of the inside, and it completed the circuit, and then this thing was the antenna. I mean, that's back in the days when there really was potential damage from your cell phone.
As my wife says, an extra 2 inches makes all the difference, doesn't it? Quite literally.
Do not apply your tongue.
Which you know.
And going on to Mr. Hart, now you put an interesting one in number one.
I have a
pair of tin cans.
Yes, a pair of tin cans on a string. That was when I was a kid. And then we had I looked for at least a couple of minutes to find out if anybody else I knew had these little telephones you used to get. My mother probably got it from a Grattan catalog, because she was big in catalogs. Where you had two telephones and a piece of wire, and you could talk, you could shout at each other from other rooms, in spite of the fact you were probably just a room apart and would probably hear each other anyway. But then I grew up slightly and got my first phone, which is in 1996, family together for when my dad got married. And so I got on contract the Nokia THX41, which I have right here now. Oh. And I've been charging it for the last 45 minutes, and it may well
just
power up. I don't know.
That was a cool phone.
But it's not doing it. There we go. Oh, it's booting. I don't know if I can see it on the screen, but no, it's gone away. It's analog, fully analog. So it was using the so it was tunable, intuable. When I first got my first job, we used to repair radio test sets, and one of the things that my colleagues did, I never did, promise, was to use the spectrum analyzers and tune into telephone conversations between people, because you could actually listen to what other people said before GSM. So this long predates GSM. It's got the cancer-causing aerials, which pops out and everything. And of course, the thing you forget, and I'll probably touch on this later on, was it didn't just come like this. It came with a nice leather case. with a sort of a transparent case on it with the little holes for you to talk into and listen to.
It smelled great as well, didn't
and of
it?
Course, oh, absolutely. After a while of being in your pocket, bloody lovely. And this was with Vodafone, and they would even charge you, I think it was something like £4.99 a month, to send you your statement. It was an absolute rip-off back.
What?
Telephone calls were such that, well, there was no such thing as minimum wage back then. I was earning next to nothing. And I was really aggrieved about having this phone. And even if I didn't make a phone call on it, I'd have to pay line rental and all these, you know, there was no bundles. It was something like 60 pence a minute to call anybody. But just to make sure that my brother turned up to my dad's wedding, pretty much.
Do you remember One-to-One had a TV advert where she'd pick the phone up and she'd ring someone, and that person would be next to her as a bystander, if you like, and they would reach into her pocket and take out the... Oh, no, that was it. People would ring her, and someone would reach into a pocket and take out some money. And then another person would ring out, and this person would reach into the pocket and take out some money because you paid for calls where someone rang you.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was the amazing thing about One-to-One right at the beginning.
The very last one was a Chinese guy who turned up in a chef's outfit, and he had his phone next to him, and he reached in and took some money out of her pocket, and she looked at him puzzled and he went, sorry, wrong number, because you paid for the wrong number dials to your phone. And I said to One-to-One, that was a great advert, and they said, because they were the first people to get rid of the incoming call charge, and he said, that advertising campaign, we thought, was brilliantly thought out. No one got it. You're the only person that's ever mentioned it and still clearly understood what it was trying to say.
Yeah, because it was always a thing.
I remember One-to-One being the company that allowed free calls at the weekend. If you were both One-to-One users, you used to be able to talk each other for free. Absolute loads. I don't know how they stayed in business, to be honest with you, because they seem to be like I guess it's what Gaff were over by T-Mobile, but then there was a constant sort of, I mean, Vodafone is pretty much the only company which has remained this time. You know, Cellnet got taken over by O2, and it's been Orange.
Well, no, disappeared,
so it's...
Oh, Cellnet only came into being because BT got told they couldn't have a mobile arm and a landline arm. So it was a separate parting of the ways because they were too powerful. So Cellnet had to be set up because it was BT Mobile before that. And now it's gone back to being BT Mobile, hasn't it? So
yeah, they just bought... Did BT buy someone? Did they buy EE?
BT bought EE. So actually, they had a choice, and they were deciding whether to buy back O2 or buy EE, and they went with buying EE in the end because EE had more, 4G and better market placement, and BT were already doing some BT Mobile stuff with EE. Ironically, they were working with them a bit more than they were with O2 when separate.
But you started with Orange, I see, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah, I came to smartphones very late because I was not interested in them when they just did calling and they just did texting. But I was going away on business a bit, and it was around the time when there was stuff going on and problems in London. And basically, there was a demand from Her Highness Princess the Bagel that said she wanted to make sure that I wasn't, in trouble, or that I was okay in London while away. So a small little orange plastic Samsung dumb phone was purchased. But yeah, it wasn't.
Going back to, we've all spoken about our first phones. Do we think that was a golden age where phones just did phone stuff? Because there's that whole thing about we all spend our time sat in front of our phones and we don't do much else.
No, that's roast tinted specs, mate. I mean, the coverage that you had at that period of time was dog shit. I mean, it was almost like you had British territorial waters were 18 miles outside the coastline.
Yeah.
And you had a complete dead zone, which was 25 miles inside the coastline that went all the way around the country, unless you were in a major conurbation. you had virtually no coverage at all. Oh, and God. It was like the motorway network. I mean, it was just pointless on the motorway network. No one was ever going to get done for, even though no one cared at the time, but no one was getting done for using a mobile phone because you couldn't get any coverage. You were travelling too fast for the repeaters to pick you up and keep you going.
Norfolk's still getting there.
I think the only good thing about that time was, you know, that because the phones did so little, the battery life was actually pretty good. You know, 2-3 1-week battery life was not unheard of, was it? But
was it 6310? 6310 was massive. You charge it up and it'd last an entire week.
Yeah, but that was partly because you just couldn't use it or wouldn't use it much. So
we just wasn't sitting there backing up stuff or refreshing stuff in the background like our phones do today. You know, they was basically single use devices. You phone your mum and go, "I'm here. I'm gonna be home in 10 minutes," or be texting your mate to say, "I'm at the pub. Come for a drink." And that was basically all you did for it. When I got my first phone, I wasn't ready. Didn't have many girls to text, so I didn't run up my battery very very far at all. So as sad as I was. But we must have moved.
You didn't use it just to play Snake then?
Oh, you don't. My high score is legendary. And not with girls, I mean with Snake. But we must have moved on to something better. We must have looked at our first purchases and gone, "Do you know what? I'm moving into the world of high tech." Who had the most next high tech phone? Come on, blow me away.
There was two big steps for me, and the first step was the Nokia that had WAP on it. WAP was the big elevation from just having some. I mean, the original Motorola had didn't send texts. There was no texting. It was just a call or nothing. The fact that it had numeric values on the keypad was a pointless exercise because all it could do was put in the number 0 to 1. WAP was the first real step forward where all of a sudden you were getting emails and you had internet connectivity, even though what you were looking at wasn't a web page and it wasn't something that you could do a great deal with. But that was the leap forward. And the first phone that I had that had WAP on it that was any good was the one that was in the Matrix where it popped open, the
7110.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I was going to say
I think WAP was the seminal movement forwards where the phone became more than a phone.
Yeah, no, that was my next phone. The 7110 was, because I thought, it's the Matrix phone. It wasn't because the Matrix phone was a Sony phone. But it was just great to stand in the pub and someone would call you and go, "Hey, I've got a call." At the time, you think you look cool, you look like a knob. Because the 7110 was the one with the scroll wheel for WAP. And I wasted a year of my life training to be a WAP developer, thinking it was the next big thing. And I read all of the books, and I did all of the courses, and I wrote 4 or 5 WAP web pages, thinking I was the bee's freaking knees. And look where that got me. But it was a nice phone. So much so that when I met my wife, I gave her that phone, and she loved it just because of the press the button thing flows down. And before we came on air tonight, I was going through with my daughter about phones, and I played the old Nokia advert of the 7110, and she's like, can't see the point dad. And at the end, the bloke hits the button, the thing slides down, and she went, "Jesus Christ, I want that phone." Yeah, and she wanted it straight away because that was the selling point. WAP was great, but the slidey thing, oh God, that was amazing. And that was where
I'll be honest with you, that, yeah.
And that was my first.
Realistically, there is very little to beat that. Motorola Razr, which is just a thing of beauty. It was. I stole that one.
Carrie Holtzman's still using it.
Yeah.
He's still using it.
They are. I mean,
he's running Amish 2.1 on it.
Well, I love the Razr so much. I then got the next one, which was the Crazer. Which is a pile of shite. They tried to make it thinner. They tried to make it smaller. It was a crap phone. And I went straight back to my Razr because I think in terms of phone, it had a proper color screen and everything. It had apps and all those sort of things. But you had to pay for every app in those days. You had to pay for every ringtone. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, the real miracle about the Razr, though, is where's the battery? I mean, there was just a tiny little lump here, which must have been where the battery is. And it lasted as good as well as any other phone. Screen on the front and the camera. I mean, actually, it was very much ahead of its time. I wouldn't probably use it now. And I don't think, I mean, this one's a special one for you there. Web button, so you can whap yourself up whenever you need to.
Oh, look at that. Actually, my WAP pages are probably out there. I'll send you the links if you can get onto them. They're probably still out there on some dodgy web server somewhere.
But, to be honest with you, this isn't my phone. I graduated to a litany of crappy Nokia phones, which were almost bulletproof. I used to have one for work, and when I used to get a bit cross, I would throw my phone across the room. It would be fine. I wouldn't have done with this one. This one, because this was Beth's. She doesn't own it anymore. Well, she doesn't know I've got it, but that's hardly the point, is it?
Well, that was the thing, because we must have all moved to Nokias at some point, mustn't we?
I think Nokia, but other than StarTAC and I found it out, the Siemens S55.
Oh!
If anybody remembers that.
Siemens. Wow, that's curvy.
And the reason I caught that is it's the first camera phone that I was able to get. And the camera phone for this was actually a separate little, tiny little camera that plugged into the bottom. I've been looking for it, but I can't find it anywhere. It clips on, it had a flash on there, and it was absolutely terrible in terms of quality. I don't even think it was about half a megapixel. It was ridiculous.
640 by 480.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible device. It was poor in pretty much every single respect. But other than that, before I moved on to iPhone, it was Nokia's all the way for me.
Yeah, me too. I did the 3210. I did the 8110 as well. Do you remember that? It was a really tiny Nokia. Do you remember that? It's an absolutely minuscule little thing.
I think I got the 8210, which was the...
I had the 8210 as well.
Yeah, that was the one where you could interchange the covers, couldn't you, the front covers?
Yeah.
That really was such a... And again, because it was so small, it was portable. This is the thing I guess I have an issue with phones these days, which they do the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus, and they do the Galaxy S8 XL or Plus, whatever it is. And you just go, you pocket anymore. I mean, yeah, okay, so... Back then, all you did was play Snake and make phone calls. So actually, it didn't have to be big, and they wanted to be kind of a little bit. I on the other side, couldn't have watched a movie on my 8210.
Jesus Christ, no.
It had a lovely little blue glow to the display, though, didn't it? Do you remember?
Oh, they were lovely.
The display was kind of lovely. Yeah.
I think it was 8210, and then moving into the Nokia N73. That was sort of the turning point for me in terms of it was phones wanting to be smaller. I went the 3210, then the 3310, and then the 8210, which was very small. And then suddenly phones could do more. It wasn't exactly like you say. It wasn't just text and voice anymore. And I went to the Nokia N73, and I was able to put TomTom on that, so it's fantastic. I almost had it as a sat nav as well, and then I jumped up to the N95. So that was the turning point from phones going smaller with tiny screens to suddenly starting to get bigger. And the N95 is probably my favourite phone.
Yeah, cause it's good.
I wanted an N95 for years because of the camera on it was just phenomenal.
Mm. Well, that was the first one that really had a place in being a broadcastable output as well. I remember watching a thing with Leo Laporte, and Jason Calacanis had walked up to him and he says, I'm broadcasting on the internet right now. And Leo was like, what? And he was stuffing an N95 in his face. And you know, I was like, what? And Calacanis said, I'm broadcasting. I'm actually broadcasting right now from this phone.
Mm-hmm. That was the kick application, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, easily. I'm seeing from Chris's list here, actually, you just go Nokia, 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 and then you hit iPhone, don't you?
Yeah. I got the Nokia N95, the black one. I think it was 8 gig in terms of size, and I got that, and I loved that device. All my mates had iPhones, all of them. So my dad got my N95, and I went out, and I got the iPhone 4 at that point. I missed out on the 3s and 3G. 3GS and everything, and I just hopped straight in when the 4 came on.
Because that was the big change. The iPhone was a big change in all of our lives, because obviously over here is only on O2 you could get the iPhone. And it came out, and I was on T-Mobile at the time. And I don't know if you remember, because I couldn't get the iPhone, I wanted a touchscreen and a good camera and all those sort of things. Do anyone remember the LG Beauty?
I remember the name.
Yeah, I think I remember the name.
it was the world's shittiest phone. It had a resistive. it was the phone that was a phone on the front with a resistive touch.
Oh yes, and
on the back it looked like a compact camera. Yeah, it looked like a compact camera on the back, and I was like, oh, this is crap. And I think I waited a little while, and the iPhone was out for a little while, and then the iPod Touch came out, the first iPod Touch came out, and I bought that, and I thought, this is the way forward. I want this in my phone, because carrying the VE and the iPod at the same time, and I got a second-hand iPhone 1, which I jailbroke to T-Mobile, and the 3GS then came out, and I was like, well, I'm going to do that. I went to the Apple store, and I was like, just sell me the phone. They're like, no, I'm not going to sell you the phone. You need to go on O2. And I was like, oh, I want to jailbreak it. And they wouldn't let me do it. But ever since then, I've been iPhone through and through. Mm-hmm. But was that the change for everyone? You know, obviously Nokia have been bought by Microsoft, and they saw a death with Microsoft. They've come back with Android phones now. But, you know, BlackBerry have gone away. Windows Phone, Alan, sorry.
But well, I was going to say, I did it in reverse, didn't I? I started off on a series of other handsets and actually came to Nokia very late. I didn't have a Nokia until Nokia Lumia 920, which was Windows Phone 8.
Hmm.
You know, so before that, I had some PDAs, and then got onto this T-Mobile MDA, mobile digital assistant instead of personal digital assistant, and I went through a couple of those and into the Sony Xperia X1, and the Vario V and Xperia X1 were both full hardware keyboard QWERTY slider phones. Mm-hmm. Landscape. The X1 also tilted up the screen to a 45 degree angle after you slid out the keyboard. And had
tiny little laptop.
Yeah, tiny little laptop, and it had full red, green, blue LEDs that could flash in various things from all four corners, and stereo speakers, and it was Sony going all in on a multimedia flagship everything device.
Mm.
But that was on the last gasp of Windows Mobile 6.1. So stylus was in, resistive touchscreen. I think in the end, I flashed that across so many ROMs, thanks to XDA developers and stuff. And there were all sorts of bits came out, because that was also the time when HTC was big in the Windows Mobile world. But then, switched on to...
HTC did make it very popular, didn't they? Because they skinned Windows Mobile, didn't they?
Yes, and they did. The HTC Sense was their sort of launcher replacement for Windows Mobile 6, and was actually made it pretty touch friendly, considering it was a rich resistive touchscreen.
Hmm.
Were the first one with all the clocks and the widgets and all sorts, and made it look very modern. It's just a shame of the engine underneath, sort of thing.
Well, just looking through your phones at the moment, and obviously you're still a Windows man, Alan.
Yeah, I've still got a Nokia Lumia 930.
And James the same, who's been rocking the Lumia 1520 for 3.5 years.
Got a new phone, but it's in a bit of a state at the moment because I'm TC phone. And I'm in kind of in dispute with them at the moment, so it's kind of sitting in its box ready to either go back for a refund or go for repair. I don't know. They need me to send me a new one because it came scratched. So it's a bit of a shame. But there we go. It's really frustrating because my Windows phone, although it's lasted really well, has started to develop issues. Every now and then it rejects the SIM card and stuff like that. And you need a reliable phone. And so I'm desperate to get this phone working again. So I'm probably going to give HTC another call tomorrow and see how. I was just thinking back, how Apple managed to make the progress they did with the original iPhone, given that the cellular networks weren't built to be able to support that kind of technology. You know, the iPhone 3G was hailed, and that was pretty much the turning point, as the first time you could really get decent network quality, you know, network speed out of a device. You say you had an iPhone 1? So someone had an iPhone 1 or an early iPhone? You can did you use it? Did you have to use it on Wi-Fi most of the time?
It was Wi-Fi. It was the selling point of getting the iPod Touch. I remember watching the iPod Touch keynote, and obviously the iPhone 1 was out. Anyway, we've put Wi-Fi in the iPod Touch. I went, oh my God, because obviously being an IT support guy in the time is getting my emails and stuff on the go. We just put Wi-Fi in at work, and it was just like the best thing in the world. And the only way I could ever use the iPhone 1 was with Wi-Fi, because I'd jailbroken it to work on T-Mobile. I couldn't even get Edge on it, and you could only get Edge if you were on
right.
O2. So without Wi-Fi,
it was an iPhone. So it was an iPod Touch with a camera that you could use as a phone as well, kind of thing, rather than an all-in-one device.
Exactly. So, and also ran the risk of all the bugs and viruses and everything that comes with jailbreaking, which in the early days was quite a lot.
Did you trade in yours, you guys? Did you trade in your phones, or have you got them all in a cupboard somewhere?
Mine are in the loft. A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. You still got them?
I act like a 12-year-old boy. My desk at work has all of my old phones on a shelf, just because a lot of my team are very young, and they don't know how good they've got it. And it's just to show to them that
part of the induction process is to take them through the lesson. And here is the iPhone 1. Try and use that for the day. Tomorrow we'll come back, give you 3G.
Well, obviously, a lot of my job is to design things for the web and for mobile. So I hand them the Motorola Crazer and go, make it work on that, you fool.
I'm gutted. I had all mine was passed by either my mum or dad, the previous phones. Like, there you go, I don't need this. It's still way, even though it's old for me, it's way in advance for anything you're using right now. So here you go. And then about a year, 18 months ago, I went to him, all those devices, you've still got them. And thinking to do almost what you've done right here. And now my mum got Envirophone or Mazuma or something like that. She just trading them all in for probably peanuts. Yeah. So now, I think I've got my 5S, but I've nothing before that in terms of my iPhones,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, my father-in-law has all of my old iPhones, and I was around there last Sunday, and he has them all laid out because he keeps them all, because he's a photographer and he likes doing things on phones. So he's got my 1, my 3GS, my 4, my 5S. And I go over and I'm like, why did I sell these to you? Because I'd love to have them all back. I'd love to keep them, because now they're, and I do search eBay now for old phones and stuff, and they still go for a fair bit of money because they're collector's items in a way, aren't they? But obviously we had these old phones, we're embarrassed. Although I actually had some phones that I owned that I don't know the model numbers of. Now someone might be able to help me here. Now, you're an F1 fan.
I am.
Do you remember back when ITV used to do the F1, that they used to advertise an LG phone during the adverts? So it's like ITV, F1 and ITV, sponsored by LG. They had like a purple flip phone, LG phone.
I think we were doing Bagel Tech at that time, and I remember being on holiday in Portugal and getting a call from a woman at LG who wanted me to take one of those phones to review, and I said yes and gave her my address, and it never came through in the post.
So I bought that phone, but I can't for the life of me. I've been searching for like LG F1 phone, and I only got it because it was a phone that was on F1, because there was nothing cool about phones in those days. And I thought, well, if people ask me, I'll go, it's the F1 phone. It was never the F1 phone. But I can't for the life of me. And it was very similar to what the Motorola Razr was, which was my next phone. But I can't for the life of me work out what it was called. But oh god, apart from that, I had some embarrassing ones. Like I say, I've been through the list. I'm mostly Nokias, but now iPhones. So as we kind of come to a close of what we have done, are we, James, you're going for Android with ATC, obviously.
Sort of. To be honest with you, this is probably not going to impress anybody. If I was to get my money back for the HTC Ultra, I would think either or possibly the BlackBerry Key One.
Ooh.
And it's ridiculous, but I really like to have a physical keyboard. I just get so wound up. I mean, okay, so it's not a big keyboard, but the form factor of the phone is big enough that it's actually got a reasonable size display. It's running Android now. It's probably pokey enough. If it's not, then there'll be a trouble. You know, at least it's got 3 gig of memory, whatever. But it's actually got a physical keyboard, and I really miss having a physical keyboard because I can type faster than I can use a touchscreen, and I can't get used to swipe, and I don't like to talk to my phone. And so the idea of having, I mean, old HTC Cha-Cha, which is probably the worst named phone in the history of phones. Cha-Cha, yeah. Something a lady calls her lady parts. I don't know.
Was that the Facebook phone?
It was the Facebook phone. And my dad, one of the reasons my dad got rid of it is because he never used Facebook. We'd keep on pressing the Facebook button and going, you haven't signed up yet. So he got rid of that. And I think if they look at it, touchscreen Android phone, but with a keyboard on the bottom of it. And the BlackBerry Key One looks like, finally, BlackBerry may well be going in the right kind of direction for a business phone, because people are given phone for business as well as they're given iPhones, as well as they're given Microsoft phones, depending on the infrastructure and everything that's been thrown out. So I'm kind of tempted by it. Of course, what will probably happen is I'll buy it and then BlackBerry will go out of business, so there'll be no warranty on it, but whatever.
The BlackBerry, I had the BlackBerry Curve, and I typed like the wind on that, absolutely typed like the wind. It was fast as you like. It was brilliant. I loved that phone, apart from the fact that it was just a tiny screen and you couldn't see much on it. But I loved the keyboard. The keyboard was stunning.
Yeah, from a work perspective, it was all BlackBerrys in terms of where I work. Right from not the very very early ones, but the plastic calculator ones. I started on that with a side scroll wheel on the side of the device, and I'd probably say I used the majority of the UK released BlackBerry devices. And yeah, physical keyboards were very very quick to type on, and they're actually pockets of the business that I work in where people wanted the physical keyboards, and I think it was one of the Bold devices. As soon as they started to become end of life, were people actively panicking, wanting to almost try and stockpile devices that they could have as spares in case theirs ever died, because they were so scared when we moved over and BlackBerry releasing things like the, I think it was the Z10, the touchscreen one. And they absolutely did not want a touchscreen device and wanted to retain the physical keyboard.
See, now I've never had a physical keyboard, but it really is that easy to use.
Well, you can do it with you can do it while not looking at the screen. That's the point. I've got my old where is it? That's my i600, which was the Windows Phone version of the BlackBerry, and absolutely, and I could literally just write without even having to look, because I knew where all the keys were, and there wasn't kind of, you could probably touch type ish using autocorrect to a degree on an iPhone or an Android phone, but these things, they felt like you were actually, you know, you could actually write emails, documents, and stuff on them.
Because that's the thing we haven't talked about. We're talking about old phones is the old text messaging where you'd have to type number 2 3 times for C, 3 times for F, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I got really fast at that as well.
Yeah. It's all muscle memory, isn't it? You get used to something, then you move from the from the keyboards where you tap into and 3 times for one letter straight onto a full physical QWERTY keyboard. It's an absolute step change in being able to speed type at that point.
My one is autocorrect for me has got to the stage now where it always autocorrects wrong. I'm going to have to sort of do a factory reset on my phone now, where I just forget everything you've learned about the stuff I've typed, because most of it is wrong. I can't type you now without coming out as yoy. And I can't everything you've talked. There is no word, Yoy. Make it go away.
No, and you can't swear on autocorrect because autocorrect, if you put the F word, it'll always say something else. It doesn't want you to swear in text. Mm-hmm. It's like, you didn't mean to say that, you meant to say
it's
this.
It's all about the wild fowl.
Oh. I think the one that annoys my other half the most is it changes bugger into nugget every time for her. Oh. So if you get a text message from her with lots of nuggets in it, you've done something wrong.
Yep.
That could change the tone of an evening quite rapidly, actually. Quite rapidly. So where are we sticking then? I know you're an iPhone man now, but you desperately miss your Windows phone.
I think I keep a tacit eye on Windows, and I would love for them to produce something that would make me want to go back to it. But I think they lost the plot after the 1020. They had a chance there to really start to plow into the camera and make people want the camera, and as the selling feature, if you like, a Windows phone, and they've completely taken away any. I don't see anything in their lineup at the moment that makes me go, ooh. And there's certainly nothing that makes me want to jump ship away from iPhone. And now with Apple Music, I'm kind of locked in, and the wife's locked in, and Ellis is locked in, and we've got iPads for the kids to use the Apple Music and the Apple TV and the server at home. And I think Apple have done a good job of locking us in, and we're not going to be able to get away from that. You know, there's no way I'm going to be able to pick up an Android phone and no matter how good it is, with, you know, 960 frames per second Sony Xperia, wow, fantastic, would love that, but it's not going to happen.
No, I'm in the same boat, and one of the things that really locks me in is iMessage. Just that single thing, because that's how I talk to my wife and my daughter. We talk in dodgy GIFs all day. That's how we communicate. I can't even show you the gift that my wife sent me on the way home tonight. It's called a Dirty Sanchez, so do a search for it. It's not pleasant. But we are completely locked into iMessage. Yeah, we've got Apple TVs, everyone's got iPads. They've got us, and I've said on big shows the thing before, I'm pretty bored with what iOS is and those sort of things, but I find Android a little bit clunky. But I'll be interested to see what Alan says, because obviously, Alan, you're Windows through and through. You're not going to have many Windows phones coming your way in the future. What would you move to next?
No, that's the thing. Obviously, Microsoft's about to do, you know, another big shift, you know, away from smartphone, which, you know, they're happy to acknowledge that they've lost, and you know, they're looking beyond the smartphone. So, you know, Windows Mobile is going to become cellular PCs, not smartphones.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, great productivity devices, and maybe Microsoft should stay more in the productivity category where they're better or seem, you know, more competent. But yeah, well, I mean, one of my big problems is, to be fair, it's, yeah, I got hooked in and got stayed in the Windows Phone thing a lot because of the Nokia and their cameras. I mean, you know, the 920 was an awesome, great low light camera. Then the 1020, you know, almost DSLR level, 42 megapixel. The 930 is still an awesome camera. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to have to at some point look to, well, probably going to be Android, isn't it?
Because I thought it might be, yeah.
I mean, the problem is, you know, Apple just doesn't play nice with anyone, do they? So although there's quite a bit of Microsoft stuff on Apple now, I'm not really willing to let Apple get its tendrils in. And Android leaves me a lot more room to maneuver. Now my concern is, has Android got... how limited are my options if I want a camera that can at least equal, you know, my quite a lot of years old now 930, but 21 megapixel optically image stabilized camera, great all rounder. Android, you know, apart from some of the real flagships, I don't hear a lot about awesome Android cameras.
Yeah. So we'll have that as a feature on the show regularly is which phone this week, Alan? You're going to have to change at some point, aren't you?
Well, as I say, you know, they have gone and, you know, with the launch of with the official, they did go and stab me in the heart again. In the, you know, my 930 has been running Windows Insider builds of Windows 10 Mobile, so, you know, has actually jumped up onto the latest Windows 10 Mobile OS and been running that for, well, 9 months, giving them feedback. And then when the creators update launched in April, they announced, only the latest 13 handsets will be launched. Your 930 previous flagship is not one of them. Mm. You can go on to a maintenance branch, but you will no longer get any further feature updates for Windows 10 Mobile as of April. You will only get bug fixes. So it has been end of life as of April.
It's the Windows XP of phones.
Yes, it may stay around for a long time, but the writing is well and truly on the wall.
Well, we fear it now.
If I am going Android, ideally, I quite like or will keep an eye on probably Wiley Fox, UK company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they make a big song and dance about, sort of security and privacy and sort of locking down the worst of Android and Google. Filtering of your life first, and then obviously I could load it up with a load of Microsoft apps and basically turn it into a Microsoft phone. But it'd be nice for it.
Skin it like one.
Yeah. Yes, I believe there is quite a Windows Phone type launcher, isn't there? But I haven't looked into it yet.
My daughter's got a Wiley Fox. She absolutely loves it. I mean, it runs CyanogenMod, so it's not actually. And actually, I was a little bit worried that Cyanogen was going to be going out of business or broken or something. But I think the CyanogenMod community is a kind of like the Chromium versus Chrome kind of thing. It's a sort of a parallel thing. But yeah, she's really happy with it. And given the price of the devices as well. I mean, this is something I was going to go back to a long time ago. Whenever I used to get a new phone, I never really want to spend more than 150 quid on a phone, which is why the iPhone and the flagship phones were always completely not on the menu. Everything I got was kind of the best of the budget stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that there are still some accessible and reasonably priced phones out there. And Wiley Fox is a really good example of that.
Yeah. That's interesting. And, you know, you're buying British, you know, you're allegedly buying more privacy and more security focused Android. Yes, obviously they did have CyanogenMod on them, but since then they're taking over some things. I think they've employed one of the key people from CyanogenMod and they've got another initiative under the way. So they are still promising full Android OS updates and stuff. And it's not a huge, but it's a decent range of handsets and the prices are, yeah, pretty awesome, especially for a UK handset.
We also touched on the grandfathering and the sort of the out of dateness of phones. I mean, it breaks my heart to. I've got an iPod Touch, which is probably around the same generation as a fourth gen iPhone, and it runs next to nothing now. I think both with Windows. I mean, my phone has got Windows 10, but just about. And many older iPhones and iPod Touches won't run the newest version of the operating system and a lot of the apps that rely on it. But the only bit of development I've ever really done has been on Android. And actually, you can still make a saleable piece of software that runs on phones going quite a way back, as long as, you know, you've got the right amount of screen real estate and capability to be able to run it. So it's nice to see that Android has got a longer tail, in my opinion, certainly.
Yeah, well, iOS does cut things off, and they're doing it, obviously, with iOS 11. All the 32-bit apps are going away as well, so there's going to be another cull there. So.
But I think that's a good thing. I think
definitely.
You look at the architecture change and the fact that things are moving along at a pace, and there is an awful lot of the 32-bit applications, much as you may be losing a few of your absolute favorite games there. I'm sorry, but they are screwing your phone up at a core level.
No, absolutely.
Just like that's the old flash problem, isn't it? It's running so fat and unnecessarily so that it's not optimal anymore.
Yeah. No, this is.
But it, I love my work phone. It's running Android 4.2.442. I mean, have a look. That's like three Androids ago. Still, pretty much runs everything I need to run on it. She's really good.
Yeah, I think the developers haven't really cottoned on though, because they're not looking back over their sales figures, if you like, and going, "Well, we sell a shedload of those games." And I bet you now that the 32-bit's gone, there's a lot of people going, "Oh, what? My morning motion game's gone. The one I used to sit and get numb legs on the bog in the mornings is gone." And all they've got to do is say, "Right, they could do a little splurge, dead easy, that says, we know you've lost your games. We know you've lost your thing because the 32-bit thing. We've done a 64-bit upgrade. Here it is, and we need to charge you 69p for it, 99p for it, just because I know you paid $3.99 for it the first time, but the upgrade is 99p, and away you go. And okay, there might be someone going, well, hang on, there's a lot more to it than just saying it's 64 and not 32. But you get income from that. If that was a fairly simple process, you'd get good income from that. You get good PR from that. You get people coming back saying they clearly care about me.
Well, it's the reverse. It's not lack of income from it. If they buy devices that don't support it, your game is gone.
Exactly. Well, I'm not upgrading to iOS 11 until I finish my Speedball 2 League, because that's a 32-bit app. It's going to go away. So I am not upgrading until I've won. So.
Bronwyn's put in a couple of comments in here, and she's put them onto Twitter, and she says, so far I think Android 7 is streaks ahead of Windows Phone 10. The S7's a bit smaller and lighter, though.
Well, they've all got their merits. It's like you say, you're either locked into an ecosystem or you're not, aren't you? I think Android maybe gives you a little bit more flexibility once you get into that iOS kind of thing that, I've got my Apple Watch now, so that basically locks me to the phone. I've got my Apple TV, it does that. I've got my iPads, all my computers are Macs now. And that's not a result of me buying an iPhone and saying, I want all Apple stuff. It fits into my workflow. Even down to a work now or my Macs at home, that my Apple Watch unlocks my Macs. That's a really handy thing for me, And it sounds like a really petty thing, apart from typing in a password, but I really like that kind of compatibility. So they've got me as bored as I am with iOS. I'm stuck. And Chris, I think you're stuck with iOS too.
Yeah, I'm iOS. I don't feel stuck with it. I don't mind the simplicity of it. I'm not bored of it yet. From an ecosystem point of view, across Apple TV, my Apple Music, I think I've got five iPads in the house. My wife uses the iPad, she's got an iPhone. It's simple for her, everything just synchronizes between them. We've not really had any synchronization problems that whether it be in Slack or on the shows we've talked about, things not syncing in the past. I've never really had any of those issues. So for me, I'm not going to go as far as saying it just works. But I've not had any scream out issues to really get me frustrated and think I'm going to look for something else. Everything syncs across the devices, and I can't see myself moving. Partly because I'm absolutely bought into the ecosystem now. What I've spent on apps over the years to move platform, to get those apps back, it's quite a lot of money on there. But yeah, just the simplicity in terms of synchronizing between the family members as well, and iMessage. iMessage is huge. We do use WhatsApp as well and Messenger, but iMessage is always the go-to for the parents and other members of the family.
Exactly. Well, thank you, chaps. I think I know you all a little bit better now. Some embarrassing, some not. But that was a really good insight into our little mobile history. So, as you know, this show and all the others is supported by UK2. Without them, we wouldn't be here. None of the BTN shows would be here. They support us. We love them. If you'd like to support them supporting us, head on to the Support Us page over at BritishTechNetwork.com. If you want anything from domains, VPNs, VPSs, look at the discount codes we've got for you. They've got something for everyone. And if you really, really love what they do, send a little tweet out to @UK2, say, we love you supporting at British Tech. They like that, actually. I've sent a few. They sent a few back. And actually, their support is amazing. As you know, I've just moved all my stuff to UK2, and it's the best service I've ever used. I'm not saying that because they support us. It is the best service I've ever used. So drop them a line, use their services. They're absolutely amazing. I think we'd all agree, wouldn't we, lads?
Good stuff. I've been with them for 23 years now for my
23 first domain years
name. Yeah,
man. And boy,
1994, registered my first domain name, and it was with them.
It wasn't on your first phone, was it? You didn't register on your first phone.
No, it was on University Super Janet fiber optic.
Oh, that's classy. That is classy. But no, check out UK2 because they support us. We couldn't do any of this without them. So now, and I forgot to tell the guys this earlier.
Can we do the bash?
Oh, we've got the bash, yes.
The bash coming up. The bash is on the 1st of July. I need you guys to buy your tickets in May, though, because on the 1st of June, if we don't have enough, it will get cancelled, I'm afraid.
No!
If you want to come to the bash, you need to buy your tickets in May. Okay, because 1st of June, if we don't have enough, there will not be a bash. So please, and you'll end up, people that have booked hotel rooms, you'll end up wasting them and that kind of stuff, which is crazy. Please book your tickets. Go to the webpage, britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets. Kids are £5, adults are 20. The reason that we've put a £5 charge on the kids up to 16 is the fact the little sods ate all the bloody food last time. No, they put their head price up on the food, so.
I had to borrow and scrap you in last time for some brownie. I had to almost take kids out in the corner just to get some of that chocolate brownie.
No. So we need to charge for them. But I mean, they add to the head price for the food, and we charged $8.95 per head for food. So, you know, we don't make any money at all on the bash. We're not ripping you off here. I'm sorry, but it's £5 for kids and £20 for adults. But please get your tickets booked ASAP so that we know we've got enough people and we can soldier forward knowing that we're not going to be hundreds of pounds out of pocket.
Yeah. No, you have to come to the bash. It's one of the highlights of my year. I didn't get to go last year and I was absolutely mortified. I was in mourning for weeks.
Are you bringing the family this year?
Hopefully so, yes.
I want to meet your wife, mate. She's got my undying admiration.
Putting up with me, yeah. No, I've got my room booked. I've got my room booked and everything. So, yeah, if it gets cancelled, I'll be coming round your house. So, right, no, mate. do not miss. No, I mean, as in the people. Oh, no, I'll be coming round your house anyway. But if people get the bash cancelled, I'll be going around their house. But, no, go to the bash. It is the most fun day for families. Mm-hmm. And British tech people and people with like-minded, it's the most fun you'll ever have on a Saturday afternoon. It really is. It's worth every single penny. And I'll tell you what, it's a bloody bargain and all. It's a bloody bargain. So do it. Go to the bash. I've updated the page with Ewan's 2016 videos from last year as well. So if you want to know what it's all about, go there, because we'll tell you what it's about, what the curry's about. There's videos there showing how much fun we've had in past years. It really is a fantastic day. So book your tickets in May, please. We'd love to see you. So next up, it's the cool things. And I know only reminded you boys a few hours ago, but Mr. Campion, do you have a cool thing for me?
I do. I'll just drop a link in the chat room now. So my cool, it's actually something I've only found it today. I've been at a school governor's meeting and needed to take some pictures of a whiteboard, and the reflection off the whiteboard, the glare was ridiculous. Couldn't get a decent picture, lights off, there were no blinds at the windows. So One of the guys in the room says, give Microsoft Office Lens a go.
Ooh.
So dropped it down to my phone. And it's almost like one of the scanner apps. There's plenty of scanner apps out there. But it captures an image. You don't have to be square on. Captures it. Did a pretty good job in that it took the glare out. But the good thing is then you can sync it into PowerPoint, Microsoft Word, and edit and annotate and play away on it. So I've not been using it for long. Like I say, it was early evening to today that I put on, but it got me out of a pickle, and it's a nice little app. It worked well. And the fact that I can shove it into Word.
I'm going to go and get that right now.
It's great for copying stuff off whiteboards. It's also an awesome document scanner. So if you want to take photos of pictures and then it'll copy it straight into OneNote as a multi-page document or Word or PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. So it's what I tend to use to digitize.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice stuff. And yeah, multi-platform because it's the new Microsoft.
It is, yeah. It's Android, Windows, iOS, it's there.
Downloaded now. Perfect. Because I use, what's the one I use? Scanner Pro for iOS. But
yeah, I've used that. I've used that for travel receipts and things like that in the past.
Yeah, but this probably is better because I'm a OneDrive user. So that is probably because it uploads to iCloud. Then because I'm at work, I'm kind of cross Windows and Mac. OneDrive is probably the best place for me to sync to. So thank you very much.
And it's free, as you'd expect.
Of course. Mr. Hart, do you have anything cool for me apart from your...
It's only a very little one. It's actually not it's not an application for a mobile device. It is what I consider to be a beautiful little mobile device. It's this. It's the Raspberry Pi Zero W, which for an actual computer being this size, I mean, you know, it's about the same size as the innards of an old Nokia computer running full Linux. You stick yourself an SD card in it. You can get adapter packs for it. But the fact that you can stick a USB power supply into it, you've got Bluetooth, you've got Wi-Fi. All you need to do is have a micro HDMI cable, and you've got yourself a small computer. And that is just ridiculous for a tenner, especially since you've got these little headers on here that you can solder to. You can control stuff, switch stuff on and off, run it off 3 AA batteries. You're good to go. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you can buy something for such a small amount of money that can do so much. I've got a little I've got the camera module for it as well. So effectively, you've got yourself the makings of a mobile phone. All you need to see is the bit that connects to the cellular network, and you could build your own mobile phone for less than 20 quid.
Yeah. Well, that kind of goes in the conversation of how far phones have come. You know, the fact you can buy a computer for a tenner, you can hold it up in two fingers, and you can pretty much do anything on it now. That is just that's the revolution, isn't it? And kids are learning so much from those sort of things now as well.
Yep, ridiculous. So yeah, I'll put a note in the a link in the chat room, but it's, you just go to the Pi Hut and you get one for less than a tenner. And they are flying off the shelves. And the fact they've got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi built in means you don't have to have them lumbered with bits and pieces of wires hanging off the back of it. This thing runs Linux. You can run a web server off it. You can run, you know, everything from a Tor router to a media server off it. So it's really good, really good.
Absolutely fantastic. No, they are brilliant. Mr. Housel.
I didn't get the note about cool thing, but I did want to. I do have a thing about this one. Just have you guys talked about the smart case for iPhones?
This
thing. Oh, you know, it's an Indiegogo thing. I've just chucked it in the chat. It is a case for an iPhone, which includes a full Android 5-inch display dual SIM phone on the back of your iPhone.
Yeah, I've seen this thing.
This is the ultimate Frankenstein product. And I'm just, you know, it also comes with the most amazing promo video of a cool, hip grandma about town in shades. they seem to have done a lot of work in terms of integration, and they're very pleased with things like the fact that you can use the iPhone's rear camera with this on, and the Android phone will be the viewfinder for the Android camera, so you can take selfies with the best back camera. And they've integrated an IR blaster in the Android one, and there's two SIM slots in this Android case phone plus the one in the iPhone, so you've got three SIMs now in one device, and wireless charging.
This just reminds me of Flight of the Conchords, where they sellotape a camera to a phone and say it's a camera phone. This is what were they thinking? I've got one of the most sophisticated smartphones ever made. Do you know what I need to do? I need to strap an Android to the back of it.
Oh, but I want one though.
Yeah. And they do then make the point though that, you know, this actually also provides a battery boost to your iPhone, and yet is thinner than some of the common, like the Morphe juice pack battery case back. And I'm just going, this is just I don't know. One of those ones that, you know, it's either the ultimate product or the ultimate Frankenstein or both.
What's the ultimate accessory for your iPhone and Android phone?
Yeah. There's so many jokes in there, isn't there?
I'd love to be in that board meeting. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Take the time to watch the promo video at some point. We'll
retake for a review unit and see how far we get.
But you know, it's 700% funded, by the way.
700.
Wow. So it's coming. It's coming.
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my word.
And you know, it's currently only $149 plus shipping.
Oh my lord. I'd rather stick a Raspberry Pi at the back of my 15 quid.
Sold.
Mr. Ranking Governor, do you have a cool thing for me, mate?
So I've always had a thing, I gauge a game whether it's something that I'll play on the bog in the morning. And my morning motion games are the things that I treasure most highly on my phone. And I've got International Snooker from Big Ed Games 2012. And it is easily the best snooker game that's out there. You can have the guides on, so it's quite easy at times. And the other morning, I finished off the semi-final. I had a really tough game in the tournament, in the semi-final. And I beat the guy, and I was in form. I thought, stuff it, I'm playing the final. So I played the final. And I was on the toilet so long, my legs were, and I was in a bit of trouble trying to stand up. And there was a bit of me was like, if I stand up, I run the risk I might fall over. I don't know if my legs are actually going to work when I get up. But I had a break of 128 in the final.
It's a good job you got 2 bathrooms in your race, mate.
I don't fit in the one downstairs. I can sit in there and have a crap, or I can wipe my ass, but I can't do both.
Oh, I've got all sorts of visions going through my mind.
No, you don't want those, mate.
Oh, absolutely perfect. Well, thank you, chaps. I think that was a great start to season 2 of Le Poker Show.
So going forward, though, we're going back to the old format of having like one Android, one Windows, one iPhone.
We're going to pick up on the news.
Winner stays on.
Yeah, it's a fight to the death. No, I just thought, you know, I looked at the mobile news, I looked at general tech news, and it wasn't a lot. And I just thought it's nice just to have a little bit of reminisce, because I think people listen to this and go, I remember that one. Oh, so it will make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside just for this first one. But
we've completely alienated all our under 18 listeners.
All 3 of them. I don't know what demographic is, but I didn't do that in our survey. How old are you? Oh, damn it. I should have done that. But yes, no, we'll be going back to a normal format. So yeah, we'll have someone from all of the corners of mobile, and we'll be fighting out, see who wins, fight to the death. And we'll see you all soon. So the last thing to do is, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Camps?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter. You'll find me in the Slack room, and I need to get my finger out and get these reviews written and up on britishtechnetwork.com/reviews. I'll have them up ASAP.
Good man. Mr. Housel, where can I find you?
Yeah, look for me at Digital Amoeba on Twitter and most other places.
And His Royal Highness, Mr. James Hart, where are you, sir?
Royal Highness, I don't think so. Anything about that. SYZYGY, Sizzy on Twitter. Follow me. I occasionally post stuff that comes out of my brain and out of my inbox. Today, I received 200 emails all saying exactly the same thing. It's ridiculous. They ended up in my spam folder, thank God. It's not from some crazed person trying to get hold of me. I hope.
You hope.
But you can see a screenshot of that on my Twitter account.
Yeah, and I am sorry for sending all those emails.
You!
Damn it! And you know where to get hold of this bloke, but Ewan, where can we get hold of you?
Well, as Ewan Rankin, get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter and doing the Big Show and the Max Show every Friday, including this Friday. And I'm going to post the other one up as soon as I can. I promise, I forgot. Sorry.
And you'll find me, I'm Righty Boy, here on the Pocket Show going forward and on the Big Show with these guys. And thank you for joining us. Welcome back to the Pocket Show, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.